Say less, my G's.
It's time to talk.
It's trademarked at this stage, in fairness, yeah?
The examples that I get on this program and the people that I speak to over the years, I despair at the way people are treated.
Are you green?
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Very mindful. Very trusting. Very demure.
Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation, the Neil Prendeville Show with Dwyer's Electrical, Forge Hill. Text 0868 104 106. So, forecast has really updated in the last hour or so. Big changes. I mean, it shouldn't. I mean, the forecast that I had an hour ago was that tomorrow will be cloudy. There'll be a little bit of early morning snow, but we'll have bright spells and 3 degrees. That's changed very much now. And there's an orange weather warning for snow and ice coming in from midnight tonight until round about midday tomorrow. And Met Aaron says it will be very cold. There will be, could well be icy stretches because there'll be a lot of sleet. Now, the sleet could turn to snow and it could lead to issues overnight and tomorrow morning into very difficult driving conditions, poor visibility, traffic disruptions and travel disruptions. I don't know what it's going to mean with regards to, you know, buses or trains or whatever the case may be. Overnight will be bad enough, and across the morning, tomorrow morning, not terrific either. Difficult conditions underfoot. They also warn of animal welfare issues as well. I was looking at it again this morning, and today isn't, you know, today isn't a bad day as long as you can stay warm and, you know, you're looking after yourself. Misfortunes that are, you know, sleeping on the streets overnight again at the moment. It's just dreadful. But by this evening, you're going to see some very, very light flurries coming in by 8 or 9 o'clock. And then by the time we get around, midnight and afterwards, then you're going to see it'll start to fall as rain and kind of showery conditions. And then as we go through the night, heavier, we're like 2-3 millimetres. And by 6 or 7 tomorrow morning, then we're looking at sleet and quite an amount of sleet. And that'll run along then until, mid-morning anyway. Certainly 9, 10, possibly 11 o'clock. So it's overnight in the early hours of tomorrow morning. When I say early hours, I mean up to maybe 7 or 8, 9, possibly even 10 o'clock tomorrow. So that's the deal. And if that changes, it gets any worse, we'll come back to it throughout the course of the morning. But on that basis, certainly West Cork, is going to have a lot to contend with. And as you head further east as well. But the first orange weather warning came in for West Cork, and now it's been extended. So here we snow as the temperatures hit. Certainly overnight, you're -3 and you're -4 degrees. So there's a lot of weather for you to be contained. Just make plans, certainly for tomorrow morning. Bizarrely then, there was a mini earthquake detected in Cork in the early hours of Tuesday morning, the early hours of yesterday morning. 1.6 on the Richter scale. And we live in very, very interesting times. 1.6 on the Richter scale, a 10 to 6 yesterday morning down the Bandon area. And it's highly unusual that you have something like that. A mini earthquake detected in West Cork on Tuesday. I thought it was KC's wallet falling to the floor in the kitchen in Crosshaven or something. But no, it was a real McCoy mini earthquake early hours of Tuesday morning. Papers also this morning talk of other stories down, not so much west along, but certainly down in beautiful Crosshaven. And that is the very, very sad story. You know the inquest into Barry Collins' death? Well, the family yesterday, and Owen English is a beautifully written story making the front and inside pages of the Examiner this morning. Let us mark his passing with the respect and dignity it deserves. His family, whose remains were found in his submerged car 17 years after he disappeared. And his family gave an emotional thank you, beautiful thank you, to everyone who helped search for him over the years. Barry Collins' family were at the inquest yesterday, and the inquest is into his death in 2004. And he wanted to thank all of those people who had given them something that they'd waited for 17 years, and that was a place that they could now visit their loved one, somewhere to bury him. And you might remember the story. He went missing 17 years ago, and then in 2021, Cork City Missing Persons Search and Recovery Team were testing out a new side scanner, a new sonar device, and they located Barry Collins' upturned car resting upside down on the bed of the Onabwee River, just a few metres off the Hugh Coveney Pier, just yards from where he was last seen. His remains were inside in the car, and that discovery brought the family's nightmare to an end. So that's the story that makes the front and inside pages of this morning's Examiner. We were talking on the air yesterday morning with Paul Gallagher. He has the franchise for Skechers in Ireland and also has an ASICS shop in Dublin just off off Grafton Street, I believe. And he said that they were absolutely looted, completely, you know, cleaned out in their shoe shop in Dublin during the Dublin riots. He said they even took single shoes, you know. They put shoes in the window of shoe shops. It's just the one shoe. They even robbed those. But the Guardian are now appealing for the public to identify 99 people who were involved in the riots and the looting, apparently, I suppose allegedly, until proven in court. Now, I know that all of the papers and online carry photographs of the 99 people, and they're very identifiable. I mean, there should be no reason in the whole wide earthly world that the vast majority, if not all of them, are identified by somebody. The idea is that the Gardaí want the public to come forward and tell them who these people are and where these people are. And there's a headline making the red tops this morning. I see it in the Star saying, "So, shoo are you? Shoo are you?" As in, who are you, I suppose? And then photograph after photograph after photograph. I mean, I know that some are bothered by GDPR issues or people's, you know, right to privacy. I don't necessarily think that those kind of laws or rules or those considerations should apply to looters and lawbreakers and freeloaders. What do you think of that yourself? Is this a GDPR issue, putting people's photographs in the papers and up online and asking the public to identify them? Text 0868104106. One thing is for sure, the Gardaí, and they say it in the Mail this morning, they are not giving up on getting justice for the Dublin riots. And you'll recall it, the whole issue that led to this, these rioting issues, makes the papers this morning, because we are talking about the riot that broke out in the capital November of last year. Three children and a care worker were injured in an attack outside a school in a creche on Parnell Square East. People had a right to be angry about that, and people had a right to be really annoyed and frustrated and shocked about that. Now, a man has been charged and appeared before the courts, but the reaction to it, these riots and these lootings were faux reaction, if you like, or faux, whatever way to pronounce it, where people took the opportunity to come in and loot and rob. So that's a story that makes many of the papers today. So does the Conor McGregor trial that's going on at the moment, with this allegations of rape against him by Nikita Hand. That makes all of the papers today. The lawyers now are, I think you could probably say that they're summing up at this stage, and one of them calls McGregor a liar and a coward and devious. But others are calling everybody else liars as well, because McGregor's counsel are obviously calling Nikita Hand and saying that the CCTV proves that the claims against that she's making against McGregor are lies in themselves. So that's one that's going to be very interesting to see what the actual verdict is with regards to that story that makes many of the papers today. And it's either that in the red tops or it's the monk in the red tops. Take a choice, day after day after day on the front pages. Then bizarrely, we have all sorts of stories with regards to people on our roads. I don't even know where to begin with this. It's a story in the Examiner from David Forsyth, that talks about a motorist by the name of Stephen Buckley involved in all sorts of shenanigans. And I'm talking about all sorts of stuff. One of them was driving on the wrong side of the road around a bend. He crashed into a young family travelling in the opposite direction. He's got jail now at this stage. He's before the courts, dangerous driving, you know, one count of threatening and abusive behaviour, two counts of intoxication in a public place, one count of possession of illegal drugs. There was a bench warrant out for other alleged dangerous driving incidents, stuff like that, public offence orders, criminal damage, assault, drink driving, a litany of stuff going on in this guy's life. I mean, for the dangerous driving alone, he got 5 months in prison with 2 months suspended. And there was loads of other sentencing then that would run alongside it. It's just it's a cocktail. It's like a menu of issues for this guy. He really needs to get his life in order. And then there's another story that makes the papers today, because we will have the sentencing hearing next week on November the 26th. It's a Ralph Regal story that makes the Irish Independent, involving what he describes as a former model who admitted dangerous driving causing the death of a special needs assistant and a mother of two. She'll be sentenced next week. It's been confirmed now that a probation report and a welfare services report are now ready. It's the story of Jennifer Thomas. She pleaded guilty before the Cork Circuit Criminal Court to dangerous driving causing the death of Sheila Dunn. Now, the defence counsel for her has requested that the state receive the full pathologist report. They don't want a single-page document. They want it all with regards to the cause of death. They've got victim impact statements ready now for the defence for members of the Dunn family. They've been prepared and ready for the sentencing hearing. The case was ready to proceed later this month. The probation is reports are in. The welfare services reports are in. So we will have to see what happens next. And I'll leave it at that until November 26th next week. And then somebody sent me a video of... some are saying it's a tourist. I haven't a clue. But everything gets captured on dash cam these days. And it's someone driving the wrong way around the Kinsale Road roundabout. And I suppose they're so deep into it that they can't get out of it. You know, you're going around a roundabout the wrong way. You kind of have to keep on going. But thankfully, it didn't lead to a crash and it didn't lead to any injuries. But it could have done. I don't know if you're... I mean, I don't know if you're an Irish driver. How could you go around a roundabout the wrong way? But then again, all sorts of issues going on with people. You just don't know anymore. And all of the papers this morning talk of the funeral of John Kenny. Now, our own John Creedon did the homily yesterday and he spoke about, you know, John Kenny was always reaching for the sprinkling of laughing dust everywhere he went. He said he was a remarkable man and he said it would be a massive understatement to say anything except that he was he manifested magic. It was a beautiful homily given by John Creedon yesterday, a good friend of John Kenny at the funeral yesterday, and there was all sorts of people turned out from all walks of life to say a fond farewell to him, and there's photographs of his family members, there's photographs of his wicker coffin. It's very interesting, it's lovely now, more and more people go for wicker coffins, isn't that a lovely thing? And in actual fact, you can even get cardboard coffins now as well. But that story with regards to yesterday's funeral and the laying to rest of the great John Kenny makes all of the papers today, particularly the red tops. And our children dominate many of the newspapers today. I may well come back to this a little later on. Where do you begin? You know the old song, the kids are all right? Well, the kids are far from all right. If you look at the latest report that's out, it just goes from bad to worse. And okay, so we're looking at fast food, we're looking at ultra-processed food, we're looking at huge quantities of sugar, and we're looking at massive portions, way bigger, where the eyes are bigger than the belly. And all of that, of course, is leading to health issues amongst all generations, incidentally, but certainly rapid weight gain. But, like, for instance, the Star this morning says that it delivers a damning verdict. Half of young adults are in poor condition. A third of young adults are now vaping or smoking, and two-thirds are overweight or obese. Two-thirds of young people are overweight or obese. One of the big issues, of course, is smoking and vaping. Now, while smoking is probably on the decline, what is on the incline, of course, so the increase, is vaping. And if you're looking at a stat now of 36% of younger adults vaping or smoking, they're vaping where they never smoked before. It's not as if they were originally, this was supposed to be, you know, God's gift to smokers to give up to vape, but what has happened now, and many people have used it as a crutch to give up fags, don't get me wrong, a very effective one, but for many young people, of course, they never smoked, but you see them now vaping, and it's awfully sad because they're so young, and but their vaping is nicotine. And sometimes they're vaping high concentrations of nicotine and they are seriously addicted. And if you think giving up fags is difficult, try and give up vapes. So one in three smoking or vaping, grossly overweight. In fact, if you look at the papers this morning, Ireland's average weight has increased in the space of 12 months, right? From 79 kilos to 81 kilos. I mean, where is this going? Fatter and more obese, and I get grief for using the F word. So if it's 36% of the younger generation are smoking or vaping, 27% of adults vape or smoke, compared to 23% 12 months ago. So it's not, I don't think it's people taking up cigarettes. I think it's people taking up vaping. And if that's not enough for you, they also talk about the Mail this morning where Gen Z, now Gen Z are those born between the mid-90s and the mid-10s, right? 1990 to middle, maybe 2005. So we kind of know that they are totally and utterly in love and besotted with their phones, but they don't make phone calls, right? It's all texting, right? It's all texting. And I don't know why that is, because it's so goddamn time-consuming, trying to
say something or have a conversation. I know they talk, they type fast. God, my fingers are all thumbs. But you would think at least they would send a voice note. But no, they're actually too scared to talk on their phones. And the Cambridge Dictionary this morning tells us that the most favourite word, as in the Cambridge Dictionary word of the year for 2024, has now been picked. And the word is manifest. Manifest. And you can thank TikTok for that. And all of the influencers and all of the superstars who are manifesting great things into their lives, and everybody else is manifesting accordingly, that you can wish goodness to come into your life in all sorts of ways, shapes and forms. Gratitude, diaries and things like that. Manifest, the word of the year. I love that one because there's another one which we'll come back to a little later on this morning, and it has to do with oxymorons. So I'll talk to you about oxymorons a little later on. There's a list of those out. Anyway, I'm going to park it there for now because I've got a lot of calls and texts. It's going to be a busy morning. We're going to go straight to our phone lines this morning. Liz Coleman from MedAirman joins me. Liz, good morning.
Morning, Neil. How
Thank you so much for taking the time, because you're under pressure today, for sure you are. All of a sudden, in the last hour, the forecast on Leaside has changed dramatically. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so everyone's aware that it's quite cold at the moment, you know, very low temperatures last night. But later on tonight, we're going to have some rain moving up across the southern half of the country. Now, when that air meets the cold air that's already over the country, that will turn to snow. So we've put out a yellow snow warning for Cork, which will start from 9 o'clock tonight, but actually an orange level warning for snow as well, starting from midnight. So what we can see is probably 3 to 5 centimetres of snow lying on the ground for rush hour traffic tomorrow morning. So quite impactful for people, and we want people to be aware.
When will the worst of it pass and be over, if overnight and the early morning's bad tomorrow?
It's going to stay cold through the day tomorrow, so any snow that does fall will remain through the day on the ground. So tomorrow is going to be quite a dangerous, a tricky day, I suppose, for travelling. There'll be slippy conditions on footpaths, you know, and possibly in some untreated roads as well. But then towards the weekend, we're going to see a complete change in the weather, and we're going to return back to wet and windy weather.
Yes, it's bizarre, actually, because Friday, it bounces to about 6 degrees, and bizarrely, a very, very wet and windy Saturday and 15 degrees, which is a bit crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's basically a low-pressure system that's going to be tracking up to the west of the country, and that's going to drag moisture air up over the country, but it's actually going to be the intensity of the rain and the winds. There will be further warnings coming out from Met Air and for the weekend.
Well done.
Once we get through the snow overnight tonight.
Okay, you're on top of your game then. So this will make travel difficult for people, visibility on roads, probably travel disruptions as well, maybe buses and rail and things like that. People need to make special plans tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. Be aware, and this is happening in the morning during rush hour traffic, so be prepared that you may have difficulty in getting to your destination, or you might have to make a decision as to whether you want to travel or not.
Thanks so much, Liz. Thanks for taking the time. Busy day today for MedAir and Liz Coleman, talking about from later on tonight, certainly from midnight onwards, right through the night, across tomorrow morning, rush hour traffic, up to and including mid-morning, as I say, 10 or 11 o'clock. It should stop, but it will be on the ground then for a considerable length of time afterwards, the snow and the sleet, and it could be compacted ice. So be very aware now at this stage. Now start making plans. You know, where do you need to be? Where do you not need to be? You know, what kind of contingency plans do you need to make for tonight, overnight, and indeed right across tomorrow morning? Text 0868 104 106. We talk about the weather, and I was saying this morning, I kind of like this weather, as long as you're safe and you're warm and you got hot food and you have somewhere to lay your head. Not everybody does, and even when they do, and I was telling you this story earlier in the week, even when they do, and they're tenants of Cork City Council, we're moving into the 10th week now, but certainly the 9th week, pushing on for the 10th week, where we have a young family, mother and children, with zero heat. None. Cork City Council tenants putting in the calls time after time after time. Nobody cares. We logged the call. No heat. The children are at home and they're wearing jumper upon jumper upon jumper and coat upon coat on upon coat to try and stay warm. And this is 2024, when the country is supposed to be awash with money. I don't know. Maybe for some, but not for all. We got more on this after the break.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Timmy, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Listen, thanks for taking the call, pal. I heard you were in a bit of trouble. You feel responsible for your daughter and you're at your wit's end. What's the story? What's happening?
The story, Neil, is her heating is over the last 6 or 7 weeks now. It's going into the 8th, I think. Myself and my daughter were ringing morning, noon, and the after number, and all we're getting is that they'll pass her on. Mm. And no one is coming out to fix our heating.
Okay. Is this City Council or County Council?
City Council.
And is it Northside? Can you give me an idea where?
She's living up in Fairhill, up in Upper Fairhill.
And who's in the family? Who's in the house with her?
There's her 3 sons. One is 18, 13 and 10. Now, the 13-year-old and my daughter, they're both asthmatics. I informed the City Council that there have to be numerous times to see the GP with chest infections. And she told us to get onto the City Council and explain it to them, which we did.
Yeah.
And we got no answer.
So in the space of nearly 9 or 10 weeks, does anybody call back or does anybody say that they'll give you a date that they'll come and fix it?
No.
Okay. And she paying her rent and her maintaining the house and everything, all that kind of thing?
All that kind of thing, yeah. Like, I'm going up to the house there and I'm seeing them. They're sitting down and there's coats around them and blankets around them and they're freezing. They're freezing.
You know, as a father now, and I'm not a grandfather yet, and please God I will be, but you are. You must feel very... She'll always be your daughter, won't she, Timmy? You'll always be responsible.
She will, yeah, but I'm going to need to tell you the truth the way they're treating her, because, as I said, no, and I was on the tour there again yesterday, there's mold now starting to go on the wall in the kitchen and in the bathroom upstairs, the mold is going along the wall as well. So that can't be healthy for the two, my daughter, my grandson, that's asthmatic.
Jeez, so they're going around with coats on indoors? God, I'm...
Yeah, they're freezing. No, there's times when we bring them up, all right, when there's no school, my son brings them up and he keeps them in his house until the son did to bring them back down. We were afraid, and Shirley's afraid to come out of the school or the house in case someone would call and there's no one there.
Yeah, sure, I know. But you're like, have they said that someone will call up or have they just said that someone will call back? There's a big difference.
No, all we're getting is when we ring up, I can see you're at the phone and there was someone else on before you. I said, that's right, that's my daughter. All we can do is log it. It's up to the maintenance code to fix it. Now, last week we had a problem with the shower and they came out and they fixed that straight away. I can't see why they can't come out and fix our heating.
What's wrong with it? Do you know, have you any idea? Is it gas or is it oil or electric oil?
No. What it is, it's gas. And when you turn on the boiler, you can hear the clicking.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the television will go off, her washing machine would turn on, and then the main trip switch in the fuse board would just trip. So you'd have to go and put it back on. No, I rang Cork City Fire Brigade about it, and I asked them, could they do anything? And they told them the situation. They said, you know, that's a fire hazard.
It is,
I said, they do.
Have you logged it as a fire hazard with City Hall?
Yeah, and as I said to them, and I said...
That's insane.
They're after telling us to get on to them.
That's insane.
And all I got was, we put her in the system again, all we can do is put it down as urgent, and... We still didn't hear anything.
Yeah, but well, what is City Hall's urgent? 9 weeks? 10 weeks? Certainly doesn't seem to be urgent.
I don't know, tell the truth, Neil. I asked them myself. I said, I'm willing to pay to get the boiler fixed and bring the bill into them for them to pay me. And I was told, you can't do that. We won't reimburse you. And that if you do get the boiler fixed for your daughter, if there's any problems down the line, we're not responsible for it.
You know what, that would really frustrate me now if somebody said that to me and I was a tenant.
No, that's just what I'm sick of it, because
yeah, you're carrying a heavy load to me, because I also heard that your wife only passed away, crikey, less than 2 weeks ago, am I right?
That's all the 6th of October, and then we are distant half it now.
Oh my God, my condolences. Oh my God.
Thanks very much.
Awfully sad. Were you married a long time?
We'll be 45 years married next month.
Oh my God, how are you coping?
I tell you the truth, I'm not, but this thing now with the heating, it's kind of putting me down altogether.
Yeah, I know. You know, you go into a spiral of depression, you know, if you're not careful.
I know, and like as I say, no, I don't know why the reason is that they're not calling up to fix the heating. And last week we had to put in another problem. You know, the smoke alarms, they're all wired up now.
Yeah.
that's beat, you know. And she, we're at the helmet there, so if she's not freezing to death, she kept on sleeping with the knife from the from the.
Something going on there, man, and that's a major hazard. I can tell you that's not a safe place to be.
I know.
I don't mean to overly worry you now, but I certainly would be. I certainly plan to get in touch with City Council to see if it makes a difference, because you're talking about freezing to death. You don't want people burning to death either. You really don't.
Well, I suggest that myself, Neil. I said, what do you want to do for the house to burn down? And then you come up and rehouse or somewhere else, and it might be too late. And I said, because there could be consequences there. And all they got was, we'll pass her on, that's all we can do. It's up to the maintenance crew to start.
Yeah, maybe they don't have enough maintenance people on their books. They contract out the work, as you know, to private companies. I mean, you can be damn sure that there'll be people ringing here wanting to go up to do the work for you, but you're saying if somebody does that, then the council say that kind of makes you vulnerable or responsible in the future if something goes wrong, isn't it?
They're
kind of like a stick, sounds like a stick to beat you with, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they told me, because they said we're willing to fix the boiler ourselves and bring the bill into them for them to reimburse them.
Yeah, it mightn't even be the boiler. It could be electrical. You don't know what it is.
Well, that's what the fire station in Angus Street said. When we rang them, they said, look, we can't do nothing. All we know, it's a fire hazard. Get onto the city council straight away. I said, we'll ring them morning, noon and night, and we're getting nowhere with it. And that's still going on now 7 or 8 weeks, if not more.
How does that make you feel?
I'm disgusted, tell you the truth, Neil. I'm disgusted. I'm mad, you know, and I can't do nothing because, as I said, my wife passed away on the 6th of October, and I have this on top of it as well, do you know what I mean?
Well, you're due the respect and the dignity of being able to grieve your wife, who's not dead a fortnight. Or is it October or November, forgive me?
No, the 6th of October.
All right, well, listen, crikey, that's only weeks ago. You should be allowed the dignity to remember her with respect rather than having to worry about the safety of your daughter and your grandchildren. But that's Ireland. That's what it's like to be an Irish person in Ireland these days, unfortunately.
I know.
Slap across the face for you. Would you mind if we gave them a call?
Do, please, because as I said, no, I'm after trying my best. My daughter's ringing and we're getting nowhere. And the last resort now is you, and hopefully that you can get something done for us.
And if they continue not responding or coming up, would you be okay if somebody did, if we got somebody to go up and take a look at it privately?
I would tell you the truth, Neil. Okay. Well, do you know what I mean?
Okay, okay, all right. Okay, well, stand by and we'll call them and see what they've got to say on the matter. And if there's anybody listening that can kind of diagnose what's going on from what you just described, perhaps they'll get in touch with me as well. Is that all right with you?
That's grand, Neil. Thank you very much.
Okay, stay in touch. All right, Timmy. We'll be back to you, pal. Cheers.
Thanks, bye.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
You're part of the conversation. Text 0868104106. I don't know what's going to happen, whether or not council now, even at this stage, will go up and fix this problem. We're in a cold snap and it's going to get even colder. And my thoughts are with Timmy's daughter and his grandchildren in the home. It's not as if they haven't made the calls over and over and over again. And all they've been told is they'll log it. I've now sent the audio of my conversation with Timmy down to City Hall to the relevant department to see if they'll listen to it, and maybe that might make a difference. We're on to councillors and local TDs as well to see if they can sort it. It should not be happening. I mean, there are emergencies and this is one of them. It's unfortunate, isn't it? But then again, you know, you hear it so often. And of course, the problems will all be solved now. If you watch all that debate the other night, I don't know if they said it once, they said it a dozen times. Apple money is going to fix all sorts of things. 13, 14 billion. Bizarrely, money that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael did everything and anything they could not to accept in the first place. And now the Apple money is going to solve all of the woes of Ireland. I don't know why. You got plenty of money as it is, but housing becomes a bigger issue. And before we know it, somebody says by text, we will be like the millions of people living in trailer parks in the USA. But, you know, we talked about modular homes there recently. Texter was saying some of these are amazing. Some obviously are not so good, but the quality of some can be very good. And somebody said, wasn't there a woman on the air a few months back talking about modular homes? A couple got one. They put it on their parents' land. They furnished it. It cost them 30 grand all in. They were in the Cork area, I'm sure. You are right. Yeah, absolutely. And we spoke about it again the back end of last week, where you can get them for that and even less. Now, I can't stand over the quality of them. You know, you talk about landlords. Can't landlords be sued? you could go to the PRTB and you can go to Threshold and you can take action against your landlord. But does that work right up to and including Cork City Council? I don't know. City Council arranges inspections of properties, not just for HAP tenants, but on others as well. I have students in a house registered with the RTB, and they were hardly in the door when I got a letter about an inspection from Cork City Council. I appreciate the need for these inspections because it ensures that people are living in decent rental accommodation, but some government departments should insist on a similar inspection on City Council properties. And you're absolutely right, and there's an example of it with Tim's daughter and Timmy's daughter and grandchildren. When did you ever hear, Neil, the council actually doing any extra work at all? They won't even do the work they're supposed to do in the first place, and then they lie to you and tell you they do the work and extra as well. What a joke. Mind you, somebody said that all they're doing with regards to me is window dressing to get me off their back. So thanks for all of that. Indeed, as you go out and about, you know, about your business, you'll see all sorts of posters up. You'll see flyers, of course, coming through the door, willy-nilly. We are looking down the barrel of a general election. Will there be any change, or will things just remain as they were? Who's to know? Seamus Whelan was out yesterday. Interesting response from the good people out around the lock yesterday, Corkonians, with regards to the upcoming election. What are the issues affecting them and who would they vote for? This is the first part. We've got more of this audio across the morning. Have a listen to the first part.
Year after year after year in this election, they promise you everything and they don't fulfil many.
And what would you
and
like?
They could have done all these things while they were in government, no matter who's in government.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of businesses struggling and they're closing now.
Restaurants are really under pressure.
And small shops, you walk through town and it's closed. Any small town in Ireland, the business is closed.
And what would you like to see happen in the next government? What policies would you like to see them implement?
Do something about housing.
Yeah.
They have to find some way to improve things because anybody under 40 really can't afford to buy a house.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter and her fiancé, they had to give up their dream of building their own home because the costs went too high. They bought a second-hand home. They were entitled to nothing under the government scheme. They had to buy a new house to qualify for something. First-time buyers, no matter who you are, should be able to get some sort of a grant from the government.
Will you be voting on the 29th?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Always vote.
Yeah.
Do you mind me asking for who?
No, I won't tell you. I don't even tell my husband who I'm voting for.
I'd be a traditional vote, put it that way.
We've seen nothing different. Same crowd being voted in all the time and empty promises. And I'd be honest, they should look after the working man, you know. Not the elderly. They're on about raising their pensions. It's always they're paying mortgages and educating their kids that qualify for nothing. It's the people they should look after.
And will you be voting on the 29th?
No. Because there's the same people putting in again.
But sure, it might be your vote then that makes the change.
No, it won't. Because there's no one new. There's no one fresh. There's no one coming in with new ideas. It's the same show that are being voted in again. You know? So I won't be voting unless someone dynamic comes along that can see it from the working man's point of view.
Well, I always vote for Fianna Fáil. But I'm from originally from Turner's Grass.
Yeah.
So I know me Hon and Sean Martin.
And is it because you know them that you'd vote for them, is it?
No, well, it's like we all vote for Fianna Fáil, all our family. But I don't know who to vote for this. I don't know, really.
Are you disillusioned, maybe?
Yes. This country is one of the most expensive countries to live in Europe. Everything has gone up. Cost of living. They can't afford to buy houses now. People that have living with people that in their parents' house and all this kind of stuff. It's ridiculous.
And do you think a lot of that is external forces that are beyond the government, or is this something the government can do?
I don't know, really, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I think they should increase disability. My dad is 94. Except in St. Stephen's Day, and they should really increase the old age pension. You know? Like, I'm surviving on disability.
Just about.
Yes.
More of that report a little later on this morning. I just love when people are asked who they're going to vote for. The different types of answers that they gave up to and including, I'm not telling you. I wouldn't even tell my husband that. Neil, I have one question for you. Who pays for all the election paraphernalia that's coming through my letterbox daily, day after day, by post and even through the letterbox from those canvassing? Even though I have put two no junk mail signs on the door. Obviously, Unpost are getting paid to deliver this worthless junk, which goes straight into my recycling, which I have to pay to take away. So are my taxes paying for the production and the delivery? And who pays for our political leaders on their jaunts around the country visiting the constituents? Do they pay from their own pockets, or do the taxpayers pay for them to basically reapply for their own jobs? I'll be voting independent for my local councillor who's walking the streets of East Cork with paraphernalia that she has herself paid for, and more importantly, will work her socks off for the East Cork area and her hometown. Yall is nearly a ghost town, so hopefully she'll make a difference. Thank you. Yeah, and the emailer goes on to talk about the derelict buildings on the main street, which weirdly, she says, have sold signs on them in the last few weeks. It makes you wonder what's going on. Well, I think it's a good thing if they're sold. It means whoever bought them will do something about it and put them to good use, or maybe even, if they're not going to work as shops, convert them to apartments. But to answer your question, yeah, Unpost have to deliver. They have a duty to deliver because they're paid to deliver it. And I think that's the bit. And on the basis, I would imagine, that, and I'm open to correction on this, but on that basis, I think that a postal worker will have to ignore the junk sign because it's post, it's paid for, and they have to deliver it. Who pays for all that? The taxpayer. Anybody that goes out and works for a living and pays tax, there's a proportion of your tax goes to political candidates for their election campaigns. And the bigger the party and the more TDs they have, the more of your money goes to pay for their electioneering and their candidates going around with all of them. I mean, just look at some. I mean, you go up to the top of, you know, in and around there, the roundabout at the top of the Well Road. You know that roundabout? There is a fence there, and it is absolutely destroyed with candidates' photographs. Do people, I mean, do they really think that these photographs and these posters will convince anybody to vote for them by looking at their photograph? I mean, I know it's traditional and it's a habit that we're into, but we need to break that habit, don't you think? The programme the other night, listening to Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael talking about how they have been, they're building more houses since the 1970s. You'd almost believe that all the different crises that we've going on in Ireland, like housing and health and education, that they never ever happened. Or indeed, they didn't happen when Fianna Fáil and Fianna Gael were even in government. Please don't think that I'm pro Sinn Féin for a moment, because I wouldn't trust that crowd either. What I am saying is that everything that's wrong in Ireland must just have happened when we had no government, because no one wants to accept their responsibility for it. It happened at a time when there was no parties in government. Can you imagine this country awash with money, yet the ordinary working people living here are living paycheck to paycheck? We have a younger generation who are still living in their parents' houses in their 30s and 40s, absolutely, in the box room, or else contemplating going to Australia, or living in their cars, or living in tents. And I am not over-dramatising things. Text 0868 104 106. Pick up the phone on 0818 104 106. We'll pick it up after 10.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Be part of the conversation. The Neil Prendeville Show with Dwyer's Electrical Forge Hill. And this week, we've teamed up with Standard Life, who feel strongly that retirement isn't the end of something, it's the beginning of something new. And you can visit the Standard Life Retirement Hub at standardlife.ie and get started now on planning your second life after you pack it in or hang it up or decide to retire. And with that in mind, I want to hear your stories. If you could stop now, right? Or if you had a pension that would look after you retire, whatever the case may be, what would you do? What would you like to do for your second life? You know, what do you dream about doing? Keep those texts coming. Text 0868 104 106 and we'll read out some more of those stories throughout the course of the morning, because we have a 351 for all voucher to give away every day this week up to and including Thursday. And then on Friday we have a €600 blue book voucher to give away, or €600 that you can spend on booking a beautiful luxury night or a weekend away at a gorgeous hotel, country house, bed and breakfast,
or guest house from the Blue Book. Okay, so text on that one, text 0868 104 106. A man who's in huge demand these days is, of course, Paul Mescal. He makes many of the papers again this morning for Gladiator 2. The reason that he's making the papers this morning is that he gave an interview to Variety magazine on the red carpet of the film's Los Angeles premiere. And the Yanks, sometimes they just don't get it. They're talking to an Irishman, and that's all very well. And one of the questions was he really excited when he met King Charles at the premiere of Gladiator 2 last week in London? To which he said, it's definitely not something that was on my bingo cards. I'm like Irish, so it's not kind of on the list of priorities for me. I thought it was a great answer. Box ticked there. No disrespect to you. Well, no disrespect intended anyway to you lovers of the royal family or the regal monarchy across the water. And there's a lovely story then that makes the papers. And I've spoken to people in the past who have converted vans and converted all sorts of four wheels and six wheel drives into luxury homes on wheels. It's a lovely one making the Mirror this morning of an Irish couple who bought an old school bus. And they spent 18 grand transforming it into, I mean, this is a seriously talented couple, I can tell you. So they bought it for peanuts, I'd say. It was just an old 24-seater primary school bus. They spent at least 18 grand renovating it. And they put in some serious home comforts. Now I'm talking about a full-size kitchen, warm water shower, heaters, air conditioning. What else did they put in there? I was reading it earlier on this morning. They got totally carried away and they put in voice activated lights. They put in a 7-foot projector screen for Netflix, and they pick up live television and Netflix and everything from a Starlink satellite internet connection on the roof. I just love it. It's just fantastic. It's an old school bus, so it's huge. You want to see the interior of it? It's all panelled. It's got wonderful paneling on the roof and everything. I mean, should I say the ceiling and what have you? And it's just gorgeous. And well done to them. They were planning a summer holiday to Italy back in 2020, but the pandemic scuppered their plans. So they decided instead to spend €1,000 on an old battered Ford Transit on Facebook. An old Transit which was being used, big one actually, being used as a school bus. And this is what they've ended up with. 18 grand later, the biz, and the whole world awaits him now. I just love that. So if I was entering the competition, you know, for a €350 voucher for a standard life, that's what I'd be talking about. You know, I'm not handy by any stretch of the imagination, but I'd imagine with YouTube videos, you can YouTube video everything now, can't you? Every single thing in the world, you can get a YouTube video for it. I was changing a light bulb. I know, shouldn't be doing it. I was changing a light bulb for my daughter's car there the other day, right? It's a Mini Cooper. Have you ever noticed? I know I'm going off on one now, and I don't mean to go off on one. Have you ever noticed that there is no uniformity in cars around the world for opening a bonnet? It's like as if car designers come up with their own particular way of torturing us, trying to find that feckin' little lever underneath the bonnet to open the damn thing. Don't worry about things like that anymore. You just YouTube it, and there it is. No bother. Anyway, enough of me. Text 0868 104106 back after the break.
Text or WhatsApp Neil now. 0868 104106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Text 0868 104106. And many people are. And I know we're in for we have a weather warning for midnight tonight with a lot of old sleet starting and then snow, and then it will settle and it will be on the ground. It could turn to ice and driving conditions. You just need to be aware. Slow down with regards to moving about from midnight tonight until midday tomorrow. Now, with that in mind, I just got a text in there from Modern Tyres on the South City Link Road. Modern Tyres got in touch to say that tyre pressure is obviously important and tyre tread as well. And you should remind your listeners of that for the next 24 hours or so. I think we should be worried about tyre pressure and tyre tread anyway. So they're offering anybody listening a free tyre and pressure check for the rest of the week, should you wish to call in. So thank you for that. People reaching out to help people, making sure that the tyres are safe. Modern Tyres, Southlink City Road. Check it out for yourself and pop in there. We're talking yesterday about International Men's Day, which kind of came and went. I was making the point that if it was International Women's Day, and I don't mean this in a kind of a sarcastic or a smart alecky kind of way, but we know all about it. When it came to the men, I was attempting yesterday to talk up men, and then it was accused of men bashing. So you can't really win, can you? But anyway, Anne, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
Help me out here and give me your thoughts on the whole story. What do you make of it?
Okay, right. Well, okay, I suppose I've always been somebody really who has been, I was encouraged by my father, who was born in 1904, to ask a lot of questions. And so when I got married, I came back from my honeymoon and my name was changed. My surname was changed. I said, God, that's terrible. I don't want that to happen. So I always kept my name, and I've always said, I suppose, my own autonomy.
What decade are we talking about for that? What decade did that happen?
1980s, early 80s.
Okay.
1980s, yeah. So I suppose I've always felt really that I didn't have any form of, I didn't have a form of suppression. No, that I had every opportunity that I.
But that was a form of suppression, surely, wasn't it?
Well, yes, I suppose it was just a norm at the time. But then I just said, oh no, I'm keeping my own name. And there was no problem with that. And my husband had no problem with that. And nobody had any problem with that.
Oh, it was the notion that you would have to change your name. It was acceptable, and it was the norm.
Automatically. Yeah. My weight slip was changed. When I came back from my honeymoon, I said, God, I didn't like the new name too much. So,
I didn't know that could happen.
Yeah, well, I suppose it was just an administrative thing. But the point I'm trying to make really is that there were norms there all through my life. I was born in the 60s. But any time that I ever pushed back against any of those norms, I found no resistance, actually. And so now I think that it has...
You would if you were working in the public sector and you got married and you had to quit your job.
Yes, but that went then.
It did, of course.
But it did go.
Yeah.
It did go. And you see, we're talking about a different era, and we judging it from today's perspective, of course, it was not right. There were an awful lot of things that weren't right.
Yeah.
But that was then. But the changes have been happening, really.
Okay.
So now, coming on to the current situation, you know, I really feel that men are apologising for their very existence at this stage. So you can say anything now about men and to men, and they really won't even defend themselves very much.
Do you call that gender baiting?
Well, look, I don't know. Maybe gender baiting is more to do with gender identity, but what I would call it really is it's a kind of an inversion. So, you know, we're trying to get rid of misogyny, but we're actually bringing in a name that I only became aware of when I said there must be a corollary for misogyny, and it's misandry. So it's a kind of a hatred of men. So you can say anything now to a man or about a man, and he won't defend himself. But if you said the same thing to a woman or about a woman, it would be the wrong thing altogether.
I wouldn't advocate that people should be showing anger or hatred to anybody, but criticism of a sex is a different thing. I mean, you could say that there is, there's some road that needs to be made up by men, really. They need to pull their socks up as men, because unfortunately, way too much criminality is caused by men, too much pain. Jails are full of men as opposed to women. The whole Me Too movement came out and spoke about men, particularly powerful men. We're even seeing it now. And some might even say that one is elected president of America, where men have too much power over women. Do you know where I'm going with this? That there is valid criticism of the sex?
Well, possibly. You know, I suppose really we're all human beings. And I think that, you know, if we put a woman into those roles, are we absolutely sure that the outcomes would be better? There are many people who would say that they'd be the same or not better. We're all human beings. So, I mean, this notion of, you know, that the world would be a much better place if women were in charge of everything, that hasn't been proven in any way, actually.
But for years and years and years, it primarily has been men. We, as a result of that, world powers that are dominated by men have resulted in world wars. Right? Or many, many wars that we're hearing an awful lot more now because we live in a global society and news travels much faster. And men are the people in control.
Yes, I agree with you, Neil. But you see, what proof have we that if women had been in control, that it would be any different?
Oh, we don't. I mean, we don't actually. And an example of that would be if we had a world full of Thatchers, we'd be in big trouble as well. Yeah, as a world full of
Putins. You're possibly right there. Yeah. So you see, I suppose, you know, it really struck me there. It was about 2 weeks ago. My grandchild was here, and I was reading a book to her, and the book was Peppa Pig. So we were reading away there, and they were at the fun fair, and Mama Pig and Daddy Pig and the little pigs were there, and the whole tenet of the story was that Daddy Pig was a total fool. He was afraid of heights, and he was getting sick on the merry-go-round, and he couldn't hit any target, and he was a bumbling idiot, where Mama Pig was able to win all the teddy bears, and she wasn't at all afraid of heights, and she was taking control of the whole situation.
Well, that's very bad form now, because that's man-bashing, and if Mammy was the fool and couldn't do anything, there'd be war.
Exactly. Exactly. So where is that coming from?
What did you do with that book, and what did you say to your
grandchild? I threw it in the bin, Neil. I threw it in the bin straight away. I just threw it in the bin. I said to my son, look at that. And he said, oh yeah, threw it in the bin straight away. Because like that doesn't help anything.
Excellent.
I mean, time was when women were, you know, you had the dumb blonde and you had all those kind of things that women were not good. Now it's gone the other way around. So you'd wonder who's pulling the strings. Do you know what I mean?
It's interesting text you say to me. Why is it okay to bash men, but if these things were said about men, women, there would be uproar? Masculinity, you said masculinity is something we need. And you say, I was very glad of my strong husband over the years to help me raise my three kids. What do you mean by strong husband?
Well, he let me do all sorts of things that maybe my mother, or well, my mother could do anything she wanted to do, but I had freedom to do anything I wanted to and to achieve anything I wanted to. But when I was rearing my children, he provided well for us. We didn't have to have two wage slaves in the house. He provided well for us, and that was very appreciated. So I could express my nurturing side, which I think my children really benefited from.
Yeah.
Plus, there were times when my sons became a little older and they were out on the street, and he actually pulled them in ways that I wouldn't have had the street sense to do, and he kept them on the straight and narrow in ways that I didn't have the street sense to do, and I didn't have the heart sense to do. So I appreciated that enormously. And there were times when I needed somebody to have my back. You know, and that man was there for that, is there for that. So, you know, we're all humans, really. And I think that this kind of, men, women divide is really not in our best interest
An excellent point of view. I'm delighted that you called. I want to give you two texts on this. You may want to respond. One says, this texter says, young men are taking their own lives because they are made to feel like absolute dirt by females and by society. And on behalf of young men, shame on the lot of you. That's one of them. The other one says, we have too many soft men today. That's the problem. That's why kids are left run amok and have no respect. We took discipline from the home years ago, and now we see the outcome of it today. Plus, you seem to forget, Neil, the world has always been violent. Look at history, and it will tell you this. The men in the West have just gone soft. Look at the leaders of this country, soft, weak men. That's interesting. I mean, the female corollary to that is that Angela Merkel never started a war. Jacinda Ardern in New Zealand never started a war. Female leaders, where they have been leaders, don't go to war.
Yeah. Hard to say. I mean, I suppose that's another whole
other... What about that one about young men are taking their own lives or suffering from depression, I suppose, because they feel like dirt, made feel like dirt by females?
Well, I don't think it's by females, actually. I think, you know, it's just, if that's the whole point, who is pulling the strings? Who wants to make us a weaker society?
But you know, and the more... I thought you said that men are a target now, that they are a soft touch.
Yes, but not necessarily by women. Do you know what I mean? Is there something, you know... Is it coming from the media? Say, for instance, that Peppa Pig book, that's coming from Disney. Who's pulling the strings there?
You see,
it's not so much like girls don't go out, women don't go out to denigrate men, but they are actually, there's a culture now of, oh, you done me wrong, therefore I'm going to do you wrong. It's just, It's just a very sort of divisive thing.
It's about it's about taking back, isn't it? Women wish to take back some control.
Well, I don't know. So I have, say, if I have two sons and two daughters here, I reared them the best that I could. There was no sort of, we'll say, there's no division between what education they got, what opportunities they got, nothing like that. But if they go in for a job now, and there's a gender quota, for instance, or maybe a soft gender quota, and one is as entitled as the other to the job, the woman will get it. Because she's a woman.
Yeah. So but tell me, what is a soft gender quota?
That's a form of indoctrination.
What's soft gender quota? What is that?
Well, what I mean is that it's a culture. It might necessarily be an edict from anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, okay, in politics now, there is an edict that is it 40% of your candidates must be women, which is why we see up on posters token women. They haven't a hope of getting elected, but they're in there as tokens.
Unfortunately, you are right. They are tokens, but maybe they're
allowing themselves to be used as tokens.
Maybe they're allowing themselves to be used as tokens now, knowing that in the next general election or the one after that, they just might get elected.
Well, maybe they won't. Who knows that? Like, that's a risk they're taking. Fair enough. But it's a very bad example for other women. You know, you go on your merits. If you're good, you're good. If you're not good, then you should just maybe compete. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Okay.
But this idea that you go in there as a token, and the same with any kind of management position. You know, if you're going into something and you're getting your job because you're a woman, or because you're a minority group of any other protected, I'm not really well up on those now. But you know, if you're getting a job just because you are something, in this case maybe a woman, then number one, you're collaborating in a discrimination against somebody else who might be, you know, it's not a meritocracy then anymore, actually.
It should be on ability, ability, talent, and experience.
Well, there's a better outcome for everybody then, because you see, if the structures are there for education, for attitude, I mean, I don't know any woman of my generation that wouldn't push her daughter ahead. And we were, my generation, I'm in my 60s, most of us were educated by nuns, and they pushed us forward. They got us into jobs, you know, we were maybe farmers' daughters that maybe wouldn't necessarily have done anything except maybe marry a farmer.
Yeah.
But, you know, they pushed us into professions, they educated us, you see, and they didn't see a ceiling for us, actually, that is being said that's there now. And we don't see it for our daughters either.
Yeah.
No, give them and the new generation the same, but there is this bashing now of boys, and are they any better off? All this talk about, you know, International Men's Day and empowering them and role models, the more of that that's happening, the worse it's getting. So you're adding, you know, how many lives are being saved by it? How many less suicides are we? If suicide is getting worse and worse and worse, you know, and then the other bugbear of mine, Neil, is pornography. So pornography is available now so easily, and children are so sexualized. But if somebody puts up a post, say on Facebook, that I don't know, it could be about anything that violates their community, what is it called, their community guidelines, it's taken off. So that's picked up. It could be anything. It could be about, could have been about COVID, could have been about...
But where's that got? Where are you going with pornography? I can understand.
So why can't they do the same thing with pornography? Why can't they control it? And the reason they can't, they won't control it, because it's a multi-billion euro dollar business. So if they really wanted to control that, they could. But they don't want to, because it's such...
I thought it would have been something to do with how demeaning it is to women.
Well, of course it is, and very damaging for young people.
And also for young people when they view pornography, thinking that's real world, which it isn't.
Yeah, of course. And they're saying they can't control it. Of course, they can control everything.
Okay. All right, okay. Covered a lot of ground there. Thanks, Anne. Let's see if anybody wishes to respond or pick up on many of the points that you made this morning. Thank you so much. Text 0868-104-106. Back after the break.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Text 0868104106 with regards to men today. I have to ask my dad to do everything and I'm 42. They don't make them like they used to. My husband can just about change a bulb. My dad's so handy at everything. DIY, fixing cars, painting. The list is endless. A lot of my friends say the very same thing. They turn to dad as opposed to your husband or your partner. Well, maybe that's an intergenerational thing. I'd like to discuss that more. Text 0868104106. I'm kind of the same, certainly with, I like to think with my son, but certainly with my daughter, and I gave a couple of examples of that earlier on. I'll come back to it. I'm just conscious of a lot of calls and I want to plough through them as fast as I can because everybody's got a story in them, including Frances Bonner. Frances, good morning. And we're never, can you hear me okay? No, not happening there. You might as well see if that's okay. It could well be the fact that she may well be overseas. I'm not 100%. Frances, can you hear me now? No, that's bizarre. Okay, so back on that in a few minutes' time. Then lots then regarding Timmy and our call together with Timmy regarding his daughter and his grandchildren. Both his daughter and one of the children are seriously asthmatic on top of everything else. Never mind the fact that they're 8 weeks now in a council house. City council, they're their landlords, without any heat. And it is very cold and destined to stay cold. And the kids are at home with coats on. It's so sad about the girl with no heating. I'd be so happy to help with the stove if the council would let me. And that's Arthur from Classic Fireplaces in Little Island. That is a lovely gesture, my friend. Thank you for it. And I'm really glad that you picked up the phone and said that you'd love to help because that's really kind of sums up Cork people for you. You know that you can go to the Ombudsman and take a case against them. I did it myself. They have 6 weeks to get whatever is wrong with your council house fixed. The Ombudsman works. It can all be done on your phone. I'd love to talk to you some more about that if you're in a position to come on the air and just talk us through all of the different stages of what you went through. Just a text to say thank you kindly to Neil and the team for highlighting what's going on in Ireland and standing up for the people of Cork. Keep up the great work. Oh, and stay warm and stay safe, everybody, says Mark Lane. You too, Mark, and the family. But unfortunately for Timmy's daughter and his grandchildren, they don't seem to count. Right, let's see if we got the line sorted. It's not a big deal. Everything works out in the end. Frances, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Oh, there you are. It's not the greatest phone line. Are you home? Are you overseas? Or where are you?
I am. I'm in Bordeaux, France.
Okay.
I was with my daughter for a while, so no, I'm trying to move around to get you a good line there.
That's okay, girl. I'm just curious. I'm curious to hear the story because this is yet another scam, and this one involves your Revolut account and your Revolut card. Now, can I just say that you travel an awful lot because you do a lot of tour guiding, right? So go ahead. What's the story? What's the backstory?
Well, I was in Savannah, Georgia for my son's wedding, and I flew back from Savannah on the 26th, got into Dublin the morning of the 27th. And I was staying overnight because I was picking up a big tour on the 29th. So I showed up to Dublin Airport, you know, that typical red-eye flight, and no suitcase. So I was very jet-lagged, and I gave all the information where I was staying in the Gresham Motel, gave all the information to the guy at Aer Lingus, and he said, look, we'll get your suitcase, because I made a connection from Savannah to Chicago and then Dublin.
Happens.
So, yeah, no suitcase, and I told him, I said, look, I have nothing, no personal items with me or anything, and he said, well, you know, we'll see where it is, and we'll try to get it to you as soon as possible. So, 24 hours passed, no case. I had to go out and buy some personal things. And I was meeting somebody for the tour. I had to go get an outfit and, you know, toothpaste and toothbrush, all that. But anyway, I got Aer Lingus call to say they found the suitcase and it was on its way. It's a great. So the suitcase showed up. It was a lovely mustard suitcase. When the suitcase showed up, I nearly died. It was jet black. It was covered in oil. Oil all over the case. So
how does that happen?
I have no idea, Neil. You wouldn't have believed it. Even the girls in the hotel saw it and said, wow. So I got on to Aer Lingus again, and I left a message, and then I, probably about 30 minutes later, I was contacted by somebody, this man, and he says, "Hi, I'm John, I'm calling from Aer Lingus. I heard you had a problem with your case and you were missing personal items." I said, "Yes." I said, "I'm absolutely shocked." He said, "Well, don't worry about it." He said, "I'm here to help." So he told me, he asked me how much was the suitcase. I told him. He said, "Do you have a photo?" I said, "Yes, absolutely. I have a before and after, actually, because I had taken a photo of the case for some reason. I don't know why."
God only knows why you would do that. I mean, I've never in my life done that. I don't know why you did.
I don't know why. I don't know. I loved the color of the case. I loved the case. And I think I took a photo to see how long it would stay that way. So anyway, I sent him that information. And then he said, "You had to buy personal items." I said, "I did." So he said, "Stay with me, please. Can I put you on hold?" "Of course you can." Came back to me and he said, "Well, under European law, if your case is missing are delayed, you're entitled to 200 euros, something like that. The value of the case, we'll send you 150, and personal items, 150, something like that." So it totaled 500, basically. And he said, "Stay with me. I need to get your bank details." And he got my bank details. Now, I have to say, Neil, I was as fuzzy and out of it as I can be. I mean, I was so jet-lagged after that trip. I don't know why, but it really hit me. And I gave him my bank details.
How much detail of your bank account did you give?
I gave him an IBAN, and I gave him a card number. He goes, "I can put it on your card." So, I mean, I did give him information.
Did you give him a pass? Did you give him a PIN number?
No. I didn't give a PIN. I didn't give the account number, anything like that. I gave him a card number. And the bank stopped it. So, you know.
But before we get to the bank stopping it, what you gave him? You gave him a card. Is that a Revolut card? Is it a debit card number?
No. It first started off with AIB Bank, my bank card.
Okay.
So that's what I gave him first. And fortunately, AIB security picked up on this and they blocked us. It was grand. And then he came back to me again and said, "Do you have a Revolut?" And I said, "I have a Revolut. I have a business Revolut. Well, I have an ordinary Revolut and then I have a business Revolut." So each of the guides who do the tours for me, they have a Revolut business card to my account for paying suppliers and vendors, you know.
People like it
in the English market and whatnot. So anyway, he sat with me on that. He was very patient. He was very polite. I commended him several times on his patience and his professionalism. And he said, at Aer Lingus, we aim to please. We're all about customer service. I completely believed I was talking to somebody in Aer Lingus. So I give him the Revolut, the card. Stupidly, now when I look back in hindsight, you know, I don't really... I mean, I know I was jet-lagged, I wasn't thinking properly, but I give him the card and he says, "Okay, well, that should load up into your account here in the next hour or so." And I said, "Thank you so much. You've been amazing. Thank you, John." Hung up the phone and that was okay. Nothing happened. The next morning, I woke up and saw that AIB had blocked my cards and Revolut was down 500 euro.
How did he do it without a PIN number? How do you get past all of the security with just somebody's bank account number? It shouldn't be enough to get...
He didn't have my Revolut PIN. He had my Revolut card number.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be enough, you know?
Well, he nearly could have had a lot more because the only reason he got 500 was because that's how much he told me he was paying. But if he had really wanted to get more money, there was more money in it because I top it up every month so the guides can pay the suppliers.
I know. But
he could have gotten a lot more.
But... he did get it, and he's a lot smarter when it comes to these things than I am, and he managed to get 500 euro out of your Revolut account. But I'm wondering, how can that be? I mean, my Revolut, it's either a PIN or my fingerprint. If you don't have either of those things, you cannot get into my account. So how did they do it?
I don't know. And then I contacted Revolut, which was the money I get over, but the attitude from Revolut was just shocking. You get a chat, you know, an AI chat box, whatever it's called.
Hate them.
Went back and forth. And they kept saying, we are acknowledging your complaint. I said, this is not a complaint. This is a fraud. This is a scam. Please escalate this, this issue. And nothing. And then I said, I want to talk to somebody. I want to speak to customer service. Sorry, we have no phone lines. We don't have any phone numbers. It's still going on, the communication. It's ridiculous. And all it is the same AI message I'm getting back. Nothing. No person ever.
And so they're going to say to you, they're going to say to you that you gave the bank account number to this character. They say you shouldn't have done that. You know, this is how you say it's your own fault.
Surely. Well, true. And I mean, it partly is. I know that. But they have, I think their security is lacking. I think, you know, AIB picked up on it straight away.
Straight away. Yeah.
Yeah. Straight away.
And the guy you were talking to, like, any idea? His name is John. Was he Irish? Was it a call center overseas? No. Was it a boiler factory India or what?
Slight accent, and very, very professional, very, very professional. He didn't have a strong accent at all, but there was, you know, he was foreign, definitely.
And here's the million-dollar question. How did this individual know that you had lost a suitcase and were in communication with the real Aer Lingus? How did he know that?
Well, that's the interesting thing. Came in through Aer Lingus, I think. That's the chain link that he used.
How did he know?
It was just after my call. Yeah.
How did he know?
Oh, that was a good one, Neil. I don't know. I honest to God, I don't know. I was so confused after it all. I walked around Dublin, let me clear my head to think, what had I done, you know? But He was very good.
Well, listen, you shouldn't be cutting yourself up on this. 500 is a lot of money. Could have been worse. It could have been 5 grand. But listen to me. You were legitimately dealing with Aer Lingus. You're well within your rights to assume that it was a call back from Aer Lingus. It wasn't.
Yeah.
Aer Lingus need to take a very close look at their security, because something happened within Aer Lingus, I believe, to allow this guy to find out that you had an issue. And to hijack the entire story and own the story himself and take money from you. Did you go back to Aer Lingus and say? Did you go back to Aer Lingus and say you've been? Aer Lingus could have been hacked. It could be a hack issue.
Yeah, I know. No, I didn't. I'm about to put in a claim. I didn't. I've been traveling and I was out on tour right after it. I just got back here to Bordeaux days ago. So, no, I'm about to put in a claim into Aer Lingus because, they need to know about it. Now, I don't expect they'll do anything, but at least be aware of it, because this guy was amazing. He was good. Really, really good.
I'd love to know how he managed to pick up on what was a legitimate consumer issue, and I'm quite sure that Aer Lingus would have fixed it. They do find people's luggage and they do return it to people, etc. I mean, the state that it was in, I have no idea why it was covered in grease and oil and stuff like that, but how did a scammer somewhere in the world know that you were talking to Aer Lingus? Would you mind if we
at the desk?
Pardon me?
You know, maybe it was at the desk. It could have been at the lost luggage desk. I don't know, maybe it starts there. I have no idea,
but someone along the link there, someone along that chain got your information somewhere and realized, and got your number as well.
Yeah. That's, it was all done by phone calls.
That's pretty scary. How did this guy manage to hijack all of this information? Not to mention then be able to go on and get money out of your bank account without a PIN number. It's bizarre.
Yeah. So I've dropped, obviously, now I've cancelled the Revolut account. I'm not going to use them. It was very convenient, but I've been reading up on it, and then their security apparently is poor, is weak. So I can't do that.
Do you mind if we just leisurely check in with Aer Lingus communications and press and see if they might be able to look into how all of your information got to a third party who ended up being a hacker? And, well, I think possibly someone somewhere was hacked and you were scammed as a result. Would that be okay?
Yeah. That'd be fine, sure. If it helps somebody else, you know,
okay.
Prevent us. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Francis. Appreciate it. Be back to you. I'm just more curious than anything else as to how everything aligned perfectly for the scammer on this one. Just aligned absolutely perfectly. Text 0868104106. Talking about people moving around and overseas and what have you. I'm just passing this on. It's a bit of a long shot, but I love the challenge of these things. Hi, Neil. I'm hoping you can help me. It's an unusual situation. I'm planning on proposing to my partner when we go on holiday at the end of the month. Clock's ticking on that one. A friend of mine was due to pick up a ring I had specially made in Dubai as he was heading on holidays there anyway. Unfortunately, his trip has now been cancelled and I'm trying to get my hands on the ring before the end of the month. It is a logistical nightmare. I wonder, can you put the feelers out to the people of Cork for anyone travelling from Dubai to Cork over the next fortnight? I will gladly pay for the person's time and for inconveniencing them. All help would be greatly appreciated. I understand you probably get a lot of mountain of requests, so no problem if it isn't possible. Thanks for taking the time to help on this one. I'm happy to help out on this because I'd love for it to work out, David, because I want you to be able to propose to your partner on holidays. I want all of this to happen. I also want to say another thing. You'd be better off buying your engagement rings and your wedding rings in Cork. On Cork Jewellers. But anyway, having said that, I'm quite sure they do good stuff in Dubai. And that's where the ring is stuck, the engagement ring. Would that be an engagement ring, wouldn't it, that's in Dubai being made? So anybody travelling to Dubai, please, in the next week or two, particularly if you're going soon and you'll be back within the next fortnight, text 0868104106. David would love to know if you could pick up the ring so he can then propose to his partner at the end of the month. If you're in Dubai, maybe you might be able to help out. I'll pass on your details. Get in touch if you're travelling and you could pick up the ring and you'd make a couple very, very happy. Text 0868104106. To the phone lines we go. I'll just keep a close eye on time. My apologies to William. I'll just do this one for now. James, good morning.
Morning, and how are you?
Okay, go ahead. Your call is prompted by Francis Bonner's call on scams. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I can go to Dubai, but I can't guarantee bringing back the ring.
Well, actually, if you want to be funny about it, right? And David says, he says, I'd gladly pay for the person's time and inconvenience. I'll go to Dubai if you'll pay for my time and inconvenience.
I mightn't bring back the ring, though, if it's a valuable one. Who would you trust with it? I don't know. Anyway, maybe we're there to be scammed. I had a call last week, AIB Customer Services, strange foreign accent. I said, yes, can I have your account details? No, I said, who are you? So he eventually gave me a name. And I said, where are you calling from? And he gave me some information. And he had my name, my old address, not my current address, my name, my old address. And he knew where I was, of course, naturally enough in Ireland, didn't know exactly. So I said, I'm not having a good day. I got robbed earlier. And he said, well, I can make your day better. Would 1500 help? And I said, of course it would, yeah. Can you give me your account details or your card details? And I said, yeah, what kind of card? Oh, no, he said, what kind of card have you? And I said, a plastic one. And he went, oh, right, yeah, okay. Can you call out the numbers there? So I had a fuel card, so I called out the numbers on the fuel card. So he said, no, that's not right, that won't work. Try again. And I went left him then for about 10 minutes while I was so-called looking for the card. I'll come back and do the whole process again. I said, I don't really trust this system. Can you post it to me? He said, no, the system does not work like that. So, anyway, we towed on for about 10 minutes going on. But I was a bit baffled by the idea that he had my address.
But who did he say he was? Where did he say he was calling from?
AIB Customer Care. He didn't say where. AIB Customer Care. And they needed to.
So AIB Customer Care is ringing you. Do they think you're completely thick? They're ringing you to tell you that there's €1,500 owing, and could they have your AIB number and their AIB?
Yes.
Ashley,
yes, yes.
You're right, he's lightweight, that fella.
That's what they're trying.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. But like, I mean, they're obviously getting up, so it went on for a few minutes. I just left it hanging there and walked away from it.
Yeah. How did they get your own name and address? They could have got it anywhere. Your name and address was sold to attackers.
Yeah, because
you probably ticked a box sometime in your life saying that you could, your details could be used for marketing purposes, and it's gone. Name, address gone.
You know where your cash is safe, don't you? Shoebox under the bed.
I'm not advocating that for a moment, my friend. All the best. Text 0868104106. But how does somebody know that you're having a lost luggage query and you're in conversation with Aer Lingus? How does a scammer get that information, get your number, get all your details, and then hijack it so that you think that you're actually still talking to Aer Lingus when you're talking to a scammer who ultimately, for a small little bit of work and a little bit of software, whatever the case may be, gets €500 like that? And then if you multiply it all day, every day that they're doing this, and you can see why there are billions and billions robbed from people, scammed from people, hacked from people every single year. Text 0868104106. On the engagement ring, just very quickly, over time, there was a story went around that a girl got engaged and was showing it around the open office. All of her colleagues were oohing and aahing. But the ring, as it was going all around the office, never got back to her. Not sure if it's true, but they tell me that they've heard that story a few times, that somebody obviously within this very big office snaffled the ring, and that's the last that was ever seen of it. Anyway, if anybody can help with Dubai, that would be lovely to be able to help out with.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM. Conversation that matters.
Wow, what an incredible amount of money to win, and we're heading into Christmas time. You know, there's all sorts happening on Lee's side. We really, the city and the suburbs and the county has seriously picked its, or pulled its socks up, and, you know, the city with regards to Christmas, and indeed, you know, what happened last weekend with the lights coming on and the big pageant. That was fabulous. Meanwhile, down at Photo House and Gardens, they're putting in Wonder Lights, and it's your chance to go down and be part of the listener night, which happens tonight. If you want to go along, I'll be opening the phone lines just before midday, and you can win yourself a pass to head down along. Wonderlights is suitable for all of the family down at Photo House and Gardens. There'll be a wonderful winter wonderland down there. All sorts of wonderful sculptures and winter flowers and Arctic animals. They've got the frozen forest down there, the enchanted forest. And they do it well every year down at Photo House and Gardens, and this year is no exception. So I'll open those phone lines just before midday. And with regards to Standard Life, a €350 one for all voucher, I want to hear about your second life plans. Standard Life reminds you that you can get further details on life with regards on their website, which is standardlife.ie, if you're planning on starting a pension. And why shouldn't you? You know, looking towards the future so that when you retire, like, if the question I'm asking is, if you were to retire now and you could, or just pack it in, what would you actually like to do? And we've been asked people to text 0868104106 on that one. Caroline says, I would love to live somewhere in the sun during the winter and back and forth for the summer here, as life here has gotten very hard and stressful with the cost of living, traffic, weather, and our health system. A lot of people do that. They live in the sun across the winter and the autumn and what have you, and maybe even a bit of the spring, and they're home here in Ireland then for the summer. Whatever summer you want to call that. Joseph says, I would join a silent order and never talk again. He would take the vow of silence. Natasha, I would travel around with my family, making lots of memories in a camper van. Some dreams do come true. I'm right with you there when it comes to camper vans. I'd love to foster babies and small children. I'd probably end up brokenhearted if I had to part with them, but hopefully I'd be able to help them see how unique every one of them are and how beautiful the world is. So Frances was able to stop working now. That's what she'd love to do. Claire said, I'd help my parents with caring for my special needs brother. And I would also open my home as a sanctuary for dogs in need. You're absolutely pet mad. You know that, the whole lot of you, particularly dog mad. Claire says, I would travel to the USA for a while, but Cork is where the heart is. I spend my days gardening and raising hens. See what I mean? Everybody's into animals and birds and fowl. Martina says, I'm living my second life now. I'm working in the field that life chose me for. And what is that? Do share. My life got stopped for me through a crash. My second life is tough. Wouldn't it be nice if I could change my second life just by making the choice? Oh, dear Denise, I hear what you're saying, girl. Angie said, I'd buy land I'd hire Dermot Bannon to help me design my home, and then I'd get Frances Brennan to help with the interiors of my little dream home. While the house is being built, I go off travelling. And just to add, in my second life, P.S., I would be minted. You'd have to be if you were hiring all of these professionals. One final one now. I'd use the money to become a radio personality because they sit down all day. Sorry, let me get this right. This is important. I would use the money to become a radio personality because they sit down for a couple of hours a day in front of a mic and they get paid for it. That's it. Ah, yeah. Have an old dig, why don't you? Have an old dig. You know who you remind me of? My son. My son, if he says it once, he says it a million times. Work! You don't work. You go in there, you talk BS for 3 hours a day and you come home.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show, okay, on Red FM.
Frances Bonner has a €500 limit, you know, cap on what she can withdraw or spend on any one day on a Revolut card. Now, AIB picked up on it when the scammer tried to take money out of her AIB card. And then very quickly came back to her before she knew that AIB had stopped the payment of 500 going out of her account. He came back again then and he managed to get her Revolut details. Somebody said to me that Frances, I just saw that there a while ago, could have been a victim of a thing called shoulder surfing attack. She could have been a victim of shoulder surfing attack. But somebody else then, and listen, thank you. That's why you're listening. You're smarter than me. And I appreciate everybody that gets involved. I don't know, somebody says, I don't know why you can't understand how someone can't take money without a PIN. You can take money without a PIN, Neil. Have you ever paid for something by card over the phone? They take your card number, right? Correct. They take the expiry date, right? Correct. And they take the CVV security number on the back, right? Correct. Then they can take the payment with all that information. So obviously this hacker just used the lady's details and took the 500 payment. Not unlike, like later on this morning, you know, we'll all do it today. Later I'll do it. I'll be buying oil for a boiler, right? And it'll be, I don't know, €400, whatever the case may be. And I will give the debit card number. I will give the expiry date and I will give the security code on the back, the 3-digit number. And they'll take the money from the account. Thank you. I'm a moron. That's exactly how it happens. It's very straightforward. The other one's very interesting, and thank you for that. Shoulder surfing attack. We need to find out more about shoulder surfing attacks. I think we probably are due perhaps a call in the not-too-distant future with Muriel Foley, who we'd on the air before. She's the go-to girl when it comes to cyber attacks and security and the online world. So I might update with her again. She's constantly updating and letting people know how to stay safe in the new online world that we live in. So thank you for all of that. Meanwhile, let me take some time because I could actually speak for a week without ever taking calls. It's that busy. But you know that we are talking about Paddy Box and our hampers this side of Christmas time. And it's your opportunity to win for yourself a Paddy Box for a loved one overseas. I want to start reading those out in a few minutes' time. So if you've started by getting emails into me, today's the day when I'm going to start reading them out. And in the coming days, going to talk to people on air as well. But just ahead of that, William, good morning.
Good morning, Neil.
Thanks for holding. This is more of dreaded clamping. Where are we talking about?
Yeah, it was on Albert Quay, and it was last Sunday morning. It was a charity run for Clearstream Dutch Bars. That was the run, 5 kilometres, BHAA, for Cork University Maternity Hospital, Neonatal Unit, and Cork Simon. Now, it was also World Prematurity Day on Sunday, and it was my daughter, who's a nurse, who was running in the race. It was her birthday.
Yes, and I have a particular graw for preemie nurses and neonatal units because they saved my daughter's life. I have fierce time for them. Fierce time for them.
And not because of my own daughter, but she's a very, very caring person.
No, they're super people. They are super people.
Yeah, but they went off and done their run anyway, and they were parked on Albert Quay, so they arrived back anyway, and one girl wasn't after coming on, and my daughter being kind-hearted, so they run back for her, and she ran back and brought her on, blah, 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 and brought her over the line, and everybody was happy out. And so they got up then, and they discovered that the 22 cars were clamped. And
in a row.
Lovely happy birthday to my daughter, anyway. So
in a row.
So instead of those people, I won't say, you know, obviously, I know you don't like the name being mentioned of the people that done it, but
so no problem. I have no problem with who put the clamp on the car. It was probably APCOA, was it?
APCOA, yeah.
But they will say
I hate saying this, but they will say that they were illegally parked, I suppose.
Yeah, I know that. But, like, Sunday morning, one prematurity day, neonatal unit and Cox Simon, all those girls out running for to make money for those things, and go back then to COVID when they were being clapped and all that kind of stuff. So these guys were clapping their hands for themselves anyway. They made 2,750.
How much was each clamp to be removed? Forgive me.
I don't know, but my daughter gave me the thing and I done the match. So they made 2,750. It was
2,750. Okay, I don't have a calculator, but I can work out that's at least 100, probably more. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And tell me this, how in the name of God could Apcoa clamp? You're saying Albert Quay. Where exactly were they?
My daughter said Albert Quay, and I hope she gave me the right key. They were faced into the river, if you like. She had a photograph of it. And
It's the same old spot where everybody gets clamped going to the Marina Market. That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, so my son-in-law, then, there was a foreign lad there, like, and he said, there's no sign up for this, you know. And he just shook his head and walked ahead of my son-in-law. He followed the man. And up at the very top, then, there was a tiny little thing with APCO written on it.
Do you know what I'm going to say to you now? I'm going to say to you, William, that was probably Kennedy Quay, was it?
It might have been, she might have given me the wrong key.
I'm going to say to you that it probably was Kennedy Quay and that they were parked on the left-hand side as you're going down there, which is Port of Cork property, right? So that's Port of Cork.
Faced into the river.
Faced into the river on the left-hand side going down. That's property, that's owned by the Port of Cork. The Port of Cork retain the services of APCOA, who clamp people who park there on the Port of Cork's property. And your daughter and all of the other nurses who ran for charity were a victim of that.
They were, yeah. And like Sunday morning, like there was, they weren't blocking anybody or anything like that.
No, they were not. And everyone is getting caught down there. The signage is shocking. Everybody's getting caught. But it's not over yet, though. I think that they would make a good case to appeal it.
Yeah.
Would you think...
You'd say, like, they were doing a kind thing, right? They were charity for, you know, that's the kind they are, right? They're kind-hearted people, the nurses.
Absolutely. But I'm just thinking one step ahead here now. The clampers who put on 22 clamps, God knows where they have 22 clamps hidden waiting to put on cars. Yeah. But anyway, they put 22 clamps on all of the cars of the nurses who were running for charity. He didn't know that there were nurses running for charity. Now that they do know, I would encourage APCOA to maybe look at refunding the money. If your daughter were to get in touch with them and ask, would they be interested in doing that? Because they were running for premature babies.
I'll say that to Manny Neil. I'm going to take up too much of your time.
No, but would you do that? Would you do that? I'd love to see that happen.
I will, yeah.
And I'm kind of keen to see what APCOA would do if they were asked to refund it under those circumstances, yeah?
Okay, I'll ask if we get on to them anyway. And if that doesn't happen anyway, Neil, and if I win the money next Friday, I'll pay for more anyway.
You'll have 175 grand if you win on Friday afternoon. Good luck with that anyway, right?
And then take them all out for a good night.
But do ask your daughter to appeal it, because I'd love to know the response from APCOA, considering it was a charity run for children, all right?
I will, of course. No problem.
Take care, kid. Mind yourself. Thanks for that, William. Much obliged. Meanwhile, you're overseas for Christmas and you're listening to me right now, or you've a loved one who's overseas, get in touch. neil@redfm.ie. Tell us why we should send you some Christmas treats, courtesy of ourselves and the Paddy Box. Email neil@redfm.ie. Please make sure to include a contact phone number in your email, because there's a chance we'll want to talk to you overseas as well. So if you have a loved one overseas or you're overseas, email neil@redfm.ie and we could well be shipping a box of goodness, Irishness, because we're sending them all around the globe, courtesy of ourselves and Paddy Box. And you can check Paddy Box out yourself if you want to send one to a loved one. ThePaddyBox.com. Next day delivery in Ireland. Cheapest way of sending gifts overseas. And they send hampers of all shapes and sizes to 186 countries around the world. Think about it yourself. ThePaddyBox.com. So what's inside in our hamper? Well, it's a bulky one, I can tell you that. It's got the big packet of, you know, the multi-pack of tato cheese
Cheese and Onion, Barry's Tea, Cadbury's Dairy Milk, The Purple Snacks, Cadbury's Chocolate Kimberleys, Bolan Custard Creams. We got a selection of the 10 old school sweets. You know the ones. I'll tell you more about the exact type of sweets. The dib dabs and the sherbets and all sorts of stuff like that. Ballymulu relishes in there, and the McDonald's curry sauce and the spice bag mix. And there's a message tote bag in there as well. So it's chock full of stuff that your loved ones overseas will have great fun with this Christmas time. Morning, Neil. Our son Alan moved to Melbourne, Australia in April of 22. To say we were heartbroken was putting it mildly. He's a fantastic young man. Once he got settled there, April 22, Melbourne, Australia, we were grand. He's on WhatsApp a few times a week, living his life and having a great life at that. He was always very caring and wondering how we were doing. And he misses us all very much. Anyway, our daughter Gillian said to me lately to take the day off for your birthday and we'll treat you. So I said, fine. I says, where are you taking me? Do I dress up? Do I eat before I go out? She says, I can't tell you anything. My phone rang and it was my son Alan, and he said, happy birthday, ma'am. I'm in Heathrow on my way home for your birthday. I nearly fell to the ground. So off we went to Cork Airport to meet him. It was the most emotional reunion I've ever had. Fantastic, to be honest. So he was home for a month and it was just brilliant. He then said to me, you're getting a new stove, I see. We are, says I. Anyway, off he goes back to Melbourne, and I have to say we were very happy for him to get the time off to come home. He's a great job and he's working hard. Anyway, he had a nice girlfriend. He has a nice girlfriend. He has a car. He's flying, thank God. Anyway, I get a phone call from the stove supplier saying, your stove is ready for delivery. And I said, I must pay the remaining €1,200 first. And she says to me, it's sorted. Your son rang from Australia, paid for it, it's done. What a legend, Neil. We'd love if you could send him a paddy hamper, a paddy box, to say how much we love and miss him. And thanks for so much. Particularly, thanks for the stove, kid. Love the show, says Mick Reardon in Blarney. And that's a, isn't that a lovely story? Son doing really well out there. The job's going well. Life's going well. And he's showing his mother and his father how much he loves them and pays for the stove. That's a wonderful thing. So listen, they're the kind of emails we're talking about. Well done, Alan. If you're listening in Melbourne, Australia, stay listening. You never know. We might be winging a hamper your way. We'll see. I turned blind 6 years ago, so I appreciate your team taking my details over the phone. You're more than welcome for that, Dermot. You're more than welcome. I would like to put my daughter Heidi and her husband Owen and their kids forward for a paddy box. It would make their Christmas. They're in Canada for the last 15 years. They're both microbiologists. Would you believe it? They met and fell in love in UCC many years ago. My grandchildren are Elliot 13 and identical twins Alice and Matilda. Sadly, my wife passed away in February. It would really cheer them up, says Dermot Mulcahy. I hope you're coping okay. It's a big change in your life. You turned blind 6 years ago, so I hope, you know, I hope that you're managing to adjust to that. And lovely to have the company of radio, isn't it, Dermot? It really and truly is. So regards to your daughter and all of the family who are listening, I hope, in Canada. Not quite sure what part of Canada, but do send me on the details. And maybe we have them already. And a final one now, reaching out to you this year with a special request. I've considered getting in touch over the previous years, but this time I've decided to put it into words. Since 2018, we've only managed to be together once. And while this pandemic hasn't made things any easier, we were at least lucky enough to be together for the holidays back then. This year, though, will be our first Christmas with an empty nest. None of my three daughters will be able to come home for the holidays. Two of them are in Australia and one is in Canada. While my heart swells with pride for each of them, seeing them follow their dreams and embrace their adventures, I can't help but feel the ache of an empty nest, especially during the holiday season. You know that you do. I know my daughter tunes in when they can to your radio program. Listening to your program has always been a shared joy for us, a way that we can feel close to each other even though we're miles apart. I also listen while at work. Hearing your voice has become a comforting and familiar presence for all of us, both home and away. But a hamper would be a meaningful gift, a little bit of home that could bring us closer in spirit and help make Christmas feel a bit special. Thanks so much for considering us. I hope your holiday season is filled with a lot of warmth and joy, And to you and all of your listeners, happy Christmas. And that's from Mrs. O'Connor. Now, that is a lovely email. Unfortunately, though, you don't tell me your daughter's name. So it's important that I know. You know, you say two are in Australia, one's in Canada. Where in Australia? Where in Canada? And names as well, please. So come back to me, Mrs. O'Connor. And your own Christian name as well. So to those of you that want to get in touch with the chance of winning a Paddy Box, email neil@redfm.ie. And I'm talking about those of you either who have family away, won't be home for Christmas, or indeed if you're listening to me overseas and won't be home for Christmas. Do get in touch and make sure that you include a contact number as well. neil@redfm.ie.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Conversation that matters.
Tipping away in the background there, working to try and get David's engagement ring back from Dubai. You'd be surprised the amount of people going back and forth to Dubai out of Cork. And you'd be surprised the amount of people are out there right now. And either they're listening to me or they have somebody at home listening to me and telling them in Dubai. So we're working away on that. Fingers crossed that it will happen. Talking about going back and forth and back and forth. Some weeks back we were discussing how women talk about their feelings and men don't. And at the time in early October, I was talking on air to John. He got in touch with us because he was struggling due to loneliness in Australia. Simple as that, he was lonely. He was thinking about readjusting his life and coming home. A loyal listener to the show, he contacted us for advice on what to do with his life. And you know, that's something that you don't take lightly, whether it's me chatting to him or people getting in touch to give somebody advice on what to do with their life, particularly if it's advice that can lead to a relocation. Sometimes people need advice and they just need that last little bit of a push. I think a lot of the time people's minds made up, but they just need a little bit of help with it to make sure that they're right in the decision they're making. But anyway, this is from John when I was chatting with him back in October. Have a listen. You say now, of course, as a consequence of life changes and routine changes, yes, for you.
Yes.
You said you began to miss home more, and you found that at a time you might need company, Australians don't mingle. Am I reading that right?
They don't. Yeah, they don't mingle. Australians are up early, so we're up, like, I start work at 5:30 in the morning. I get home at 3:00. But Australians, they're into their couple of beers at 3:00 and they're in bed at 7:00.
Yeah.
And for me, that's a complete culture shock. I mean, you know, for us, like, we used to get home and maybe do a few jobs around the house, maybe watch the news, and maybe then sit down and have a beer, or watch a movie till about 10:30 at night time, and then go to bed. But I just found that culture, it was a massive culture shock for me. So having friends was difficult for me, and that's why this happened to me.
And you're in Melbourne, and kids are in Brisbane, and there's 9 hours, yes, and all the kind.
So I've just found that loneliness has kind of taken over me and making me a very sad person. I'm and angry at times.
Really? So angry as just, well? Angry as well?
Yeah, it would, because you'd miss, like, even if a tip match, a hurling match, you'd miss it. Like, you have to get up at 3:00 in the morning to watch it. And I know it's only sport, but still, you know, I was a massive sport when I was back there. Yeah. And I was massively into it. And it's a major pastime, you know, for me, sport in general.
Why angry?
I suppose the frustration of being lonely. I'm on my own. You know, I'm working, like, you know, 60, 70 hour weeks, and I get home and I just kind of sit down. And I think you get when you sit down and you start, I suppose, what I call it, overthinking in a way. But, like, when I started listening to your podcast, and it helped me, like, when I discovered your podcast, like I was telling Seamus there, like, I listened to your podcast first up in the morning at 7:00. That's 3 hours of my day that I love. You know, so it's just, I suppose, look, I mean, if you were to sum it up, I suppose it's just the home thing I'm missing. And then man was diagnosed with cancer in February.
That's just a little clip, a couple of minutes of my conversation with John back in October. Let me catch up with them live. John, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you?
I'm in Nina, North Tipperary.
You on holidays or are you back for good?
No, I'm back for good. I'm back for good, Neil. Yeah,
wow.
I've made the decision. I got on that plane.
Yeah, had you kind of maybe 90% made the decision anyway, do you think?
Yeah, do you remember I was saying to you? It was just that little 10% to push me over, and okay. I finally decided, this is not, life as my mother's dying, and I just said, I'd never forgive myself if she died, especially this time of year,
Let me just talk to you about that. How quickly after? Yeah. I mean, how fast did this happen after? I mean, you opened up on air. You spoke about, your emotions. You spoke about your loneliness. You spoke about your isolation, the anger issues because of, maybe the cultural differences between you and Australians being so far away from home, your mother being unwell. How quickly did you decide to hand in your notice?
After talking to yourself, I went into a thinking mode, and I said to myself, okay, I need to make a decision here for myself, because myself is myself and no one can make that decision for me. So with the help and support I got from you guys and a couple of people in Australia as well, I said, you'll never get that time back with your mom, and you'll be over here and you'll probably never forgive yourself for not coming. So,
and you know something, John, nothing is forever. Yeah. Kind of,
no, it's not.
It just made sense, didn't it? Yeah. And because you're working, I mean, I know you're separated, these things happen, and I know you have children, but there was a huge divide anyway, geographically, between you and the kids, wasn't there?
There was, yes. I mean, there was a 17-hour drive. It was an hour and a half flight. It was expensive. It was hard.
So you were communicating anyway via various forms of social media, which is what you're doing now from Ireland as well, right?
Exactly. Yeah, okay. WhatsApp and Messenger on Facebook, and it's as I said to you on the last time we talked, the world is not such a big place nowadays. You have
nothing is forever.
Nothing forever. No.
And you know what? You're not short of a few bob to be able to quit your job and come home. Nobody tried to talk you out of it, did they?
No. Well, a few people did. My boss at work did. He was absolutely devastated.
That's because your work ethic, though, isn't it?
He tried to say, look, what's back in Ireland for you? I know your mother's sick. You can leave anytime you want. We'll stand by you. But I said, no. I'm just, it's a long flight to come home for 2 or 3 weeks and then get back up on that plane again and go back.
I got to ask you, when you visited your mother, what was that like?
Oh, my God. she nearly died. she was just looking at me and she was, is that you, John? She has, her vision's not great, and just went in and gave her the biggest hug I could and said, I'm back.
Are you talking about respite? Is it a nursing home or a residential
care? Yes, it's a respite residential. So she's under 24-hour care. But sometimes they put her sitting up watching television, and that's where she was when I turned up. I never told her I was coming. I know, yeah. And she got some fright, I can tell you that.
Oh, I'd say there was a few tears shed, was there?
There was. I was absolutely, because I bought her some beautiful gifts in Australia. There was a beautiful, she loves tapestry. I bought her this beautiful tapestry blanket for her bed. And it was on, I gave her that and she just started crying. And she said, okay, are you going to take me out for a coffee? Because no one else does.
That's mammy for you. I hear you bought a Passat car big enough to take the wheelchair, is it?
I did. I bought that. I only bought that. What day is today? Today's Wednesday. Monday morning I bought that. Yeah.
Is that for mammy spins, is it?
Oh, for mammy spins. I tell you, the boot is huge. You could put a double mattress in this thing. It's huge. So, she's a great car. I mean, because, they said, she has the wheelchair and stuff, so just make it easy for her.
Have you been out, for a bit of an old scove and a bit of spin here and there with yourself and your mammy?
We did. We went down to the Clonmel Arms Hotel and she had a cappuccino and a scone. And then she said, I have to go after Super Value now, she said, because I want to buy chocolate for the staff in the nursing home. And I couldn't catch up with her going around the supermarket. I said, would you slow down, for God's sake?
Oh, man, it's just great to hear you. You sound so energized, so happy, so positive. And listen,
my motivation's back. My motivation's back.
Your mojo's back because you were living, when you were talking to me last time, you were thinking, I will never forgive myself if my mother passes away in Ireland and I'm in Australia.
No, I won't. And then that was the drive, and that was the drive behind the decision as well, you know, because when I went through immigration in Australia, they just said, you know, you've a one-way flight, or what's the goal? And I said, I don't know, will I be back? And the girl laughed at me. She said, all good, don't worry. You can come back when you want, you know.
And you can.
Because I have a residency visa. Yeah, because I have a residency visa.
No, look, there's no padlocks on you, man. I mean, you are where you are now, and you're living in the moment, and you're happy with the decision you made, and your mother clearly is happy, and you love your mother. God knows how long you will be together. We don't know. Where clock is always ticking. But at least you will know that you did the right thing in the right time, you know, and you're happy with the decision.
And she said, look, I said to her when I met her, I said, how are you feeling? Well, she said, look, now, at the end of the day, she said, my engine management light is on and it's not going off. So I couldn't stop laughing. So it was very funny. Because I hired a car in Dublin. I hadn't sat at the time, and I hired a car in Dublin, and she came out to the car, and like, and I had it running, idling, so I had the heat and turned on. Oh, Jesus, this is a grand car. Oh, this is lovely. I can't get into any other car. Now, that's lovely. Now,
that's fine.
My brother works back here, and he has a company car, and he has a big Volvo. It's a big Volvo car, and she can't stand it because she can't get out of it.
You're in the love-in period now. I hope that continues. But when you start tearing strips out of each other, that's the time to get the return flight to Australia.
No, because you see, the problem is I know her mood. I can read her like a book. I can read her like a book. If she's in bad form, you get out of there. Don't go near it, because you're only poking the fire.
Yeah,
but you're only poking the fire. So I mean, there's no point, is there? Like, yeah. No.
Anyway, what about any sign of a job? I mean, you're in landscaping, horticulture stuff like that, aren't you? Gardening.
I am. Yeah. Well, when I got back here, Neil, obviously I hadn't anything, and I just reached out. I reached out on Facebook and I said, look, you know, willing to work hard. I'm a hard labourer, and I'll do anything just to fund me while I'm here. And this beautiful man here in Nina reached out and said, I've heaps of work. I'll see you in the morning.
And is that working out for you?
Lovely. I'm here now.
Oh, mega. Oh, listen, really and truly, fingers crossed, touch wood, it continues to go so well.
Yeah, and I bought my car and got it insured, and it's, you know, text and interceded, and I can go up now and look after her every weekend.
It's lovely. That's lovely.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
Listen, who knows what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. But you are where you are now, and you're in a good place. Did you hook up with Paddy O'Brien as well, the great Paddy O'Brien?
I did. I met lovely Paddy yesterday morning down in Cork. I met him at Silver Springs, the Clayton, obviously, and then we went out to Blarney, out to that beautiful restaurant out there. Geez, we had the finest toasted sandwich you ever had. and a lovely coffee. He showed me around all the beautiful gift shop there. Yeah.
And did Paddy go and see your mam?
He did. Paddy went the whole way up to...
He's the loveliest guy. Isn't he unbelievable? He's incredible.
And did he tell you what he did? No.
No, no.
He done a dance for him inside in the hallway and inside in their little gathering area. And they were in absolute stitches laughing.
That's his problem, you see. He thinks he's Michael Flatley.
he's a lovely man, and as you know, it was lovely to come down and chat to him yesterday, and you know, beautiful now to catch up. And
I heard when he went into your mother saw him, and she didn't know him first, and then she said, oh my god, the man from Live at 3.
I know and I was still dying with jet lag above in Dublin, like I and I woke up and I rang mam, and she, oh my god, you'd never guess who called in. And she said, I did it all, teed up, like, you know, and everything, you know, and I knew he'd call. And, oh my God, she said, yeah, he's just put knees on my life. Yeah.
Well, listen, have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, and don't be a stranger. Stay in touch and pass on our best wishes to your mam as well. Delighted for you. Things have worked out so well.
Thank you.
You're a brave man. You're a courageous man for making the jump. Fair play. Well done.
and come here to me. Can I thank you, the radio station, and the beautiful people of Cork as well, obviously, you know, because without you guys, I would have been sitting back in Melbourne and overthinking and not making that decision. So just, and happy Christmas to you guys down there. You're really, really good. I appreciate it.
Well done, John. Stay in touch. Season's greetings to you and all of the family, my friend.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Sika in Blarney, I'm told, is the cafe restaurant that he went to. It's new and it's fab, and you've got the thumbs up on the toasted sandwich as well. Support local, lads. Back after the break.
Call Neil now. 0818 104 106.
The Neil Prendeville Show on Red FM.
Every day this week up to Thursday, we have €350 one for all vouchers. You can spend them anywhere you like, on whatever you like. And on Friday, a €600 voucher for the Blue Book. You know, with those really posh, luxurious hotels and guest houses and B&B. €600 voucher for that one. Courtesy of ourselves and standardlife.ie. You can check them out on Life. And Standard Life are reminding people and encouraging people to actively participate in planning for the next phase of your life, which is after retirement. It's the beginning of something new. You can get further details on Standard Life at their retirement hub, standardlife.ie. And Standard Life International DAC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland. So with €350 every day, what would you do? If I were to say to you, you can now stop and retire, your pension fund is big enough, you have enough money, what do you want to do with your life? Tara says, get an au pair and sleep. But not forever, surely. Maureen said, I would love to have a little bookshop and stock some less well-known authors from around the world. Well, it's a nice dream to have, you know, and why not? Frank says, I'd run for the Dáil, and if elected, I'd do F all for the next 5 years like the rest of them. That deserves a prize all on its own. I worked helping to build up the business of my daughter and her husband until I was 70. I then retired and had a couple of very good years before I was diagnosed, sadly, with COPD and emphysema. But life goes on, and thanks to the marvellous staff at the Westfield and Ballincollig, I still have a good quality life. I'm very involved in my grandchildren's living and their lives, going to their matches, going fishing with them. Also, thanks to all of the staff, I managed to get to go out fishing on my own a couple of times a week during the season. So Tom is living life to the full, helping his daughter's business, minding the grandchildren, going fishing. Life couldn't get any better. Look after your health, because that's all we have, really. Our health is our wealth. You know, what about somebody who has to book in time? His wife has to book an appointment to see him, and her day is Mondays. She's got an appointment with her, with her husband, Finbar.
Good morning.
So they say you... Yeah, so 15 years ago you retired. Go through the schedule for me now. Go on.
We start with Tuesday, right? Pitch and putt Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon, singing for the brain on Zoom.
Sing on a second. What? Singing? I know what singing is. Singing for the brain. What is that?
You can go on Zoom. You can go around the country. Around the country, and there's one person, the man we have now, Dean Flynn. He's the man who is there, and he takes your request. And we have a mighty crack. We have a great fun, really, singing.
Right.
And doing a bit of fitness and all that thing. It means sitting on a chair and basically for 2 hours, have a great crack. People tell their stories, tell their life, and there is great fun.
Okay, so pitch and putt, singing, go on.
Thursday morning then, pitch and putt. And then I go to my community association in the afternoon, and we have a singing for the brain live, singing, dancing, coffee, tea, 2 hours of mighty crack, about 25 of us.
Right.
So I always said you leave 78 euros loose, and they're as mad as anyone. No drink whatsoever, tea, coffee, and my wife makes a cake every week for us. Really, she does. Like, and another woman brings in another big cake.
All right.
So we have a great, mighty crack.
Right.
Friday morning, pitch and putt. Friday afternoon, shopping.
What about all of the charity work that you do, though, you're mad busy with?
I'm getting to that. Saturday morning, Sunday morning, then I'm on charity. I do Meals on Wheels. I help out and deliver Meals on Wheels. So that's Sunday afternoon, then I'm into the city. I'm down Blackpool watching some match on television, and Monday is for my wife. But the school, I went back to school about 10 years ago, I'm back in college. It's called Adult Education at Farnforth College. Our teachers is M. Toomey. This is one of the most fantastic things that I ever went to my life. Remember, I left school at 13 and a half, becoming a messenger boy. Now I'm back. I'm reading books now I never thought I could read.
Go away.
Because of what I've been taught by. It's a fantastic thing. It really is. It's on 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Was your reading ability limited enough all your life then, Finbar?
I was always into the sport. I was a soccer referee for nearly 40 years. Sport was a huge thing in my life.
Yeah.
But when I retired, and all that went, so somebody said to me, would you join St. Anne's Bishop Book Club? So I said, let's try for a good idea.
Are you handy, like?
And I fell into it. No.
And you know when you started out...
You could ever imagine.
Yeah. You what?
Probably one of the worst you could ever imagine. But I love it.
When you were a messenger boy, who were you a messenger boy for?
You could be that time, or back in the late 50s. You could get a job anywhere. There were so many jobs going. But I started with a club called Clancarty Buildings in Cook Street.
Clancarty.
Which are 3.5, yeah. And then I went on to Mr. President, the butcher, and then I went on to O'Brien's, something. Yeah, but you could have a month, another, no problem.
Did you have a bike? Did you have your own?
I had a bike.
Did it come with transport? Did you get a company car?
I had a Jaguar. But I had a bike, belonged to Mr. President. It was known, everyone knew it in the English market as the tank. My God, it was a massive thing. They put a 14-year-old roof up on top of that. And nobody asked. I'd be everywhere, all over the city, up in Montanari, out in...
Coming down Summerhill North, no brakes, I'm told. Coming down Patrick's Hill, no brakes.
I always wondered, you'd meet five or six of them up on top of the...
So if I gave you a €350 voucher, right? I'm sorry for rushing, it's a matter of time. But if I gave you a €350 voucher, would you have time to spend it on anything?
Well, I would have no say in it. I have two women in my house who will tell me exactly what I'm going to do with it.
You just surrender it up then to your wife and daughter, is it?
It comes in, and you just, Peggy, Diana here. Off you go, whatever. I might get a price of a quart out of it.
Where would you go for a quart? Blackpool, is it?
The Fairfield Bell above my family, about the 5 minute walk.
For God's sake, I'd say keep 150. Give your wife 100, give your daughter 100, and tell them they're lucky to get it. Hear me?
We'll fight each other tonight. We'll punch each other in the face and see who wins.
I'm not suggesting that either. Keep your hands in your pockets.
I can. Anybody that retires, there's no need to do nothing. There's so much stuff going around the country, around the city. Go to your community association.
I'd be afraid of my life to retire. I swear to God, I think it from time to time. I think I'd love it for 2 months, and I often say after about 2 months, I'd probably wake up some morning and I'd say, oh my God, what have I done?
The attraction is the pub. You know,
the pub.
You're going to have to meet your brother to meet your buddies. You don't. You'll make no buddies.
All right.
You're going to make more friends since I retired than they ever had before.
All right, pal. Mind yourself, Finbar. Don't be a stranger. €350 voucher for you, courtesy of ourselves and Standard Life. We'll do it again tomorrow. You can check Standard Life's retirement hub out, standardlife.ie. Our lines will stay open on 0818 104 106. Get dialing now for Wonderlights down at Photo House and Gardens. Big night down there tonight. They're turning everything on, including the enchanting forest. Have a good day. I'll see you tomorrow.